interrupting the current neo-Ukrainian climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to ring you out of the woodshed. This is Cricketude-Busting Episode BTWRLM661. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport. So get you behind the woodshed. And yes, we're back. Or as tentatively as it might be, maybe better than it has been. What I miss? Did I miss anything in the last couple months? And we sure blew the February donation drive month, but there was a lot of work going on. As I had a tech diff's perfect storm, it seems, as some of you have written to me to find out how I was. Thank you very much. And that's what happened. And then it's been 1 or 10 obstructions to get something working since I last did the broadcast, which was done on baling wire and duct tape. Just barely got that last one out, too. So I've been working real hard to try and make this thing work up. I hope it turns out, starting today, we'll keep back to a schedule. I'm doing pretty good for all those couple decades, not missing too many, maybe 3 or 4. We lost a whole bunch of weeks this year. So let's get rolling now, as this is the worst flu season so far this century. And if we're going to be free, we have to be free of this nonsense. Whatever your idea of where a flu comes from, we are being told now we have a new subclade K strain drives intense season as experts warn the peak is yet to come. And I'd wager they use the polymerase chain reaction, the PCR, not a test, magic trick to fraudulently come up with that, wouldn't you? Yes, I think they did. Of course. And why would they stop using a lab trick that keeps people bedazzled? Flu season in the U.S. has escalated to levels not seen in decades, and a newer strain appears to be driving it. Only appears to be driving it. What? The scope, breadth, and depth of the facts being looked at? How were the consequences of the great COVID swindle proven to have no cause or effect in destroying the immune systems of people or causing weakening comorbidities? All but 4 states are now reporting high or very high flu activity, according to new CDC data. Trust the cookbooks. That'll work, right? Before you say no, consider cooking the books has been working for the mass murdering criminals for a very long time. And I don't mean Gary Long. Doctor visits for flu-like illness. Fever plus cough and sore throat, a key measure of respiratory illness, are at their highest level since at least 1997. What happened to the great COVID swindle time? What happened to 2020? Hindsight, 2020. The earliest year data is available for, quote, this is definitively a banner year, Dr. Caitlin Rivers, an epidemiologist and senior scholar at John Hopkins Center for Health Security, tells CNN. Oh yeah, John Hopkins can be trusted. Quote, it's the worst we've seen in 20 years. Are you forgotten about the COVID swindle, folks? What they did there? They took all the numbers from the flu and they attributed to something that didn't exist. So they get the ability to spread their bioweapon through the injection, which wasn't a virus. It was a protein strain, which mimics a poison that I identified for you then, had the symptoms of that, I think it's a silkworm caterpillar out of the South America. It both can make you bleed and make you clot. Pretty interesting. The only thing in the only venom that does that. We're seeing a majority of the country is experienced very high levels of activity, and we're still in the thick of it. An estimated 11 million Americans have been sick with the flu so far this season, with about 120,000 hospitalized and 5,000 deaths, including 9 children. Hospitalization rates are at their third highest at this point in the season since 2010 to 2011. Nearly every state is seeing elevated activity. Montana and Vermont report low levels. South Dakota and West Virginia, moderate levels. And Nevada, which skipped this week's report, showed high levels last week. And what happened to COVID? Right? Flu season tends to peak in January or February, and Dr. Robert Hopkins, not to be confused with John Hopkins, medical director of the National Foundation of Infectious Diseases, but maybe to be confused, says the steady rise in cases in recent weeks, quote, without much of a decline or even a flattening, suggests the peak still lies ahead. Experts point to a newer influenza strain known as subclade K as a likely reason. Likely? That doesn't meet the requirements of the law, but let us quickly review the Special K buffet. The mutant strain, subclade K, is thought to have emerged at the tail end of the Southern Hemisphere's flu season. Only thought? Just thought to have emerged. But trust the science. Oh wait, you can't. There is no test. And why, it's just a thought. That's where it comes from. Just a thought experiment, especially when there is no spoon. And besides, mutated aliens are too scary when people find out the great COVID swindle jabs are mutating people as we speak. Not just mutating an infectious agent, mutating them entirely. This thought experiment makes up most of the viruses analyzed in the labs and appears different enough from strains people have encountered before to slip past existing immune defenses. Does it, folks, if you fortify your defense and immune system? Does it? They never tested for that either. So I suggest maybe you start there for yourself. It emerged after this season's flu shot formula was set. So current vaccines may offer only partial protection against it. Trust the science. These vaccines work, right? No, we make the vaccine. We anticipate the so-called virus that's going to be out there. We make a whole bunch of vaccines because we have to take us about 6-8 months to make them. And we hope that it worked. We hoped we guessed right. So this one's only going to partially help you anyway. Even so, health officials are urging vaccination to reduce severe illness and hospitalizations. Just stay out of the hospital, folks. Just work to stay out of the hospitals. Quote, in the next 48 hours, if you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. But as we've seen, there is no vax. These are not tested on most all, if not all, the people. These experts are telling people to get vaccinated, but they can't get vaccinated because there is no test for the infectious agent. And if these are mRNA bioweapons, they can't be vaccines as a matter of law, and they are not vaccines in the least. But don't wait, says Dr. Michael Osterholm of the University of Minnesota. Don't wait? What? But communicable disease law says the principle of contagion should wait at least until a non-fraudulent infectious agent is non-fraudulently identified in that principle before treatment. And then that the vaccination by lawful definition shall stop transmission of that non-fraudulently identified communicable contagion. Not merely relieve symptoms like a stuffy head, coughing, fever, so you can rest medicine. And then get this curveball. If the contagion is non-fraudulently identified, the vaccines are not to be given during the time of infection, particularly because it will flood the body to cause an additional immune response from an already challenged immune system leading to adverse harms. That's two additional reasons a vaccine would not be valid in the treatment under the law and never in a case threatening mRNA trespass. Ventilators, anyone? So why is a doctor's advice required more than a non-fraudulent test until the communicable disease law is fully met in, most importantly, identifying the non-fraudulent infectious agent to treat? In law, vaccines are not to treat symptoms, being a vaccine is supposed to be stopping transmission, to stop the communication of the infectious agent to others. How do you do that halfway, as they suggest for this step right up, get your insufficient jab right cheer? The surge comes as the flu vaccination rates are sliding. You think, Barbara, 80% of the population of the world, it seems, got this COVID swindle. Now we're seeing it sliding finally. Maybe finally people got the message. I'm kind of doubting everybody, but maybe more people. Have these experts here ever heard that the coincidence do not prove nor does correlation imply causation and slip sliding away like the lawless experts haven't had a hand in obfuscating valid information through misinformation, disinformation, or outright corruption and criminality, destroying trust in the products or confidence in the health system, public or private in this? Coverage among children has dropped from about 53% in 2019 to 2020. There you go. Now we're getting into it. To 42% as this point in the season, and adult doses have fallen from nearly 61 million to 48 million. And I want to remind you, I was coming into hindsight 2020 in 2019 for 2 months telling you there was a flu that no government agency was talking about. And for the few years before 2020, that flu was getting stronger and stronger, whatever they were identifying at the time, was getting stronger and stronger, and it was starting to engage more and more people right before this thing. I want to remind you that. I was reporting on that back in November of 2019 when I found the reports of it coming up and saying, here, folks, they're going to use this as we come on through, and I deemed that to be the hindsight 2020 of what? Would we have the hindsight after 9/11 of how they'd done it to us to take our rights, take our lives, take and control us, put us in this prison, and then as we now see, and as I was reporting and have been reporting, moving us into the Siberian Gulag, where you have no rights and no property and you'll like it, they say. On Monday, federal health officials announced plans to shift flu shots for kids to a shared clinical decision-making model, potentially adding an extra step to getting vaccinated. But remember, this is also that Siberian Gulag Health One, the government, the death committees are looking at this. This is how they set this up and step us into it. So here you have all these years later, now the flu is supposed to come back. Now, over this subclade K, special K, we're going to move into this community model. And when I talk about direct democracy, you're going to be living it right here. You think you have a vote? No, it's going to be those that are authorized to have a voice, to have a vote. So this is not an extra step when obeying the law, if you look back and see what I've been saying. It's an extra step if you intend to break the law, violating the rights of due process in people. The move drew criticism from pediatric infectious disease experts who say easing recommendations during a severe flu season sends the wrong signal. Now, why would the experts criticize what the communicable disease law requires? That the patient makes the decision after consultation with their hopefully trustworthy doctor. What kind of message does criticizing that right in law in patients send? Well, nothing if you don't know about your rights under already they're protected in that law. Like apparently mostly no one did globally in the great COVID swindle ongoing as well. It's fascinating what we witnessed today. And another thing clearly beyond the authority of Donald, whatever it takes, I don't need no law Trump, that irreparably harmed in a world which is still coming to terms with the failures of that and subsequent law and order in his warp speed implementation of the great COVID swindle. Bill Gates, Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla, ordered to testify in Dutch COVID vaccine injury lawsuit. Listen carefully, folks. I've been telling you how to parse these words. And I just look at this and what's been going on. And no, I didn't really have a vacation the last few months, working really hard to try and get a system back up. And so I didn't get to take some time off to even think about all this stuff. But I want to call our attention back to what they're saying here and how this deception works and how I've been watching, notwithstanding my working to get a system up to work. Paying attention to what's going on and how much more this word salad is coming out anymore. And the flip-flopper in chief that's aiding all that. It's getting worse and worse. And I've been on this broadcast behind what you're telling you. Well, start learning this vocabulary for yourself. Get the roots, the foundation of the language down so you can understand how the deceivers work. And I've been trying to show this. I thought the great COVID swindle was the definitive observation and event that we could use to do that. And some of you paid attention, and a lot of people, certainly don't let somebody into a woodshed. A lot of people didn't, and we see a lot of harm going on. We're seeing lots of people coming on after the fact, but if you didn't understand, if you kind of think you know because, oh, yeah, it's harming people, oh, I know that now, that's not what I'm talking about. You have to be able to look before it hits you that you needed to avoid it. And they're telling us how to do that. They're telling us in this, listen carefully again, the COVID-19 vaccines lawsuit. And some of you should already say, yeah, well, COVID-19 was just symptoms. There are no vaccines against symptoms. I just said that earlier in the last tab content. And I'm saying that not because I say it. If anybody reads the communicable disease law, will see it. So again, you need a foundation. I can't help anybody with that. I can lead people, again, lead people to water and hope that they'll drink, or whatever an analogy you want to read. I'm not the guy that has the answer for anybody. May not even have an answer for me. I'm still in my trouble here, trying to escape an interesting trap. There's no one around me that understands what's happened that I can solve this for me. And I still have a mining claim for sale. Anybody who's interested, that would help. It would go a long way to relieving my imprisonment, to move me out of here into more than the street. This is a COVID-19 vaccine lawsuit. So I want you to, I'm going to hit this again in a moment. You can see right off a lawsuit like this, your mind should be saying, well, that's not going to fly. And that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell you up front as we go so you don't miss it. So on the surface of this, Albert Bourla, we're going to go after Bill Gates. This looks very encouraging. But if the Dutch court does not recognize American law or a local law to the same effect, and additionally, I understand correctly, it had to be specifically petitioned to let these American foreigners testify in that jurisdiction, it may not be able to be shown under Dutch law that the jabs are bioweapons as a matter of law, and not the question called an arguable issue to be contested in the courts, which take great advantage hiding under a blindfold, supposedly evidencing impartiality and dispensing justice instead of the blindness that routinely leads to scaled injustice. And none of the so-called experts named to testify have ever referenced this bioweapons fact in American law. We can opinionate them being bioweapons, but we can prove it in law without opinion, even judicial opinion, can't we? We just have to go to law, and it describes that. I've been talking about this since 2019. And anybody getting behind a woodshed can do that. Anybody that has gotten behind a woodshed can do that and should. And if you've been behind a woodshed and you can't, you go back and listen, find the files, find the archives, listen to what I was saying, go through the steps to do it. I know it's a little bit of work, but it's a foundation builder for people. And there's no, I got this guy makes comments on my BitChute. I appreciated him early on, but now it's just like this trailer that hangs around, wants me to come up with the revolution. Doesn't understand what I've been talking about. The revolution is in you, gaining the foundation that you need, because your life is your decisions. And once we have a group of people, a population that has that foundation in each of us, then maybe we're ready to get together. There's nobody listening that would say that I haven't offered a revolution. The revolution is you understanding your failures and fixing those and then moving forward. Or in the case where we're living every day, we have to defend ourselves every day. We better bone up to about how that works and do it better and learn more and learn more and more. And we can't learn enough in a way. Ultimately, the responsibility is on each one of us. And I don't know, I'm not a seer. I'm not a prophet to say what the revolution will be. What I did notice when I read my documents and read all that was going on for these last 30-something years, it pointed to answers within us. However you want to approach that, I kind of do a mechanical thing in a way. If you go to the law, you don't even have to go to the law if you understand what I'm saying. There's another way to look at this as well. There's many laws, I guess, you can look at. They are all consistent at some point. Now, I talk about this international law. That's many nations coming together over eons of time agreeing what works for everyone. And we're watching people in the world right now deny all of it, like they can rewrite all of that experience. Anyway, getting back to this black and white, it gives you a basis that in the United States, at least, people taking an oath in office are supposed to be adhering to. That's been failed too, but we don't not give that up. See, I'm hearing also international law is failed. Well, it's failing, but it's not failed if you use it and stick to that as your principle. Then you point out the other being the criminal. That's how you catch them. You want to know about a revolution? That's it. Start practicing that for a while. So anybody got behind the woodshed after the, even if they, getting behind the woodshed is not necessarily listening to me. It's getting the black and white, comparing it to what officials would be, what authoritarian is demanding of you, and seeing whether or not it holds water, whether there's a real power behind that, a lawful power behind that. So we get back to, is there an opinion needed over whether or not we're dealing with a bioweapon? Not when it's in the law, it's written in black and white. No judge can overpower this. They may ignore it, but that means that they're corrupt. And we can identify that real quickly. What we get, though, is experts throwing out a ton of irrelevant information to keep people off point. And the attorneys allow it, and the government court will take advantage. So these are very dangerous lawsuits, actually. We get Gates and Borla in there. These are dangerous because they're going to exonerate these people if the wrong question gets asked. And they'll give you the right answer. The courts will do that. So these are dangerous, and they're putting the fact that the jabs are bioweapons into a question when that is not a question. They very much are bioweapons as a matter of law. If it's nowhere else in the world, it's in American law, you know, in America, United States Code. And I've gone through again that. You go back and read the archives of where you can find them. I think on archive.org, it's not if you can't find it on RLM, they're built, and Sound is making a ton of advantage on that, making advance on getting all those archives back in, all kinds of archives from all the hosts, back into RLM. If you can't find it, go to archive.org, and I excited put some up, reordered a bunch of stuff. Thank you very much again for that. Find the stuff from 2000, end of 2019, all the way 4 years, consistently replicating what I've been saying right now against what's been going on and what we think about. We see, Bill Gates. I see a lot of, Bill Gates is going into court. No, watch out. Watch out. I don't see it. It could, but I don't see what I'm reading. And I want people to be able to read for that when they see this stuff. Why? Because not because of Bill Gates or the testimony of these people that we listen to, they're influencers in our society. This is for you to listen to and watch how it's done, how it's wronged, so that it doesn't happen to you. Want a revolution? Start working there for you. So these are not a question. What it gets put into a question, and it's a wrong, false question. COVID-19 is symptoms. You never have vaccines for symptoms to start with. Then we have the question whether or not, is it a bioweapon? By putting it in, instead of saying here, the law says it's a matter of law, it is a bioweapon. And the courts should have already found that fact as a matter of law. That they haven't, and in some cases evaded that fact in the past, when you watch this as they move up to today, is extremely dangerous. Bill Gates and Pfizer CEO Borla will have to appear in person in the Netherlands to testify at a hearing in a COVID-19 vaccine lawsuit, Dutch court ruled last month. So how does the testimony of either contribute to the determination what the law already settles is the problem here. The court order relates to a lawsuit filed in 2023 by 7 people injured by COVID-19 vaccines. So if their complaint admits to COVID-19 vaccines, it fails, being they identified the jabs as vaccines, foreclosing their ability to say that they are not. At that point, the lawsuit, likely written by an attorney, appears frivolous. One of the victims has since died. The lawsuit centers around the question of whether the COVID-19 injections are a bioweapon. So they can't commingle the terms COVID-19 vaccines and COVID-19 injections. COVID-19 injections is more properly a term, but it's on symptoms injections. And even if we attribute it to the SARS-CoV-2 protein, which is still not a virus, As a matter of law, these vaccines are symptoms called COVID and not an organic infectious agent and can't be the vaccines I keep talking about, even if we attribute it to it. So this language is very critical. So they threw it into it as a question, and they changed the word to injections. Makes it sound better, but it's still on the symptoms. It's on what they told the public it was, instead of what it was as a medicine, as a drug. And the complaint necessarily had to state the fact by the law when they did that, not create a question in the complaint. In addition to Gates and Bourla, the suit named 15 other defendants, including former Dutch Prime Minister and current NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte, the Dutch state, and several Dutch public health officials and journalists. The public health officials are the primary people, not the others, aren't they? Again, go read your communicable disease law everywhere. Everybody who contacted me during that from any country said theirs was always pretty much the same. They're not identical, but they're very much the same. And I found out in the United States, which I didn't know before, so we were reading, as you brought me your stuff, as we were reading through it, some states had very few lists of duties for the local official, and some, I think it was like Nevada, that had the most. It had like 15 things that the local health official had to do before they could be saying anything, and then they still, nobody, no jurisdiction could impose the medical treatment. Because there was a choice. It's always been a choice. Beyond there, a Grant, said last month's ruling is, quote, is a significant setback for the defendants who are accused of misleading victims about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccines. However, it remains to be seen, quote, remains to be seen whether defendants will comply with this court's order and appear as next year's hearing. And defendants may face additional legal challenges in the Dutch courts in the new year. A second lawsuit filed in March by three COVID-19 vaccine injury victims in the Netherlands presents a similar set of allegations and names the same defendants. Again, I don't hear anybody stating that the concoctions that were made are bioweapons as a matter of law. Kind of ends it right there, I would think, don't you? At a press conference last week, Dutch attorney Peter Stassen, who represents the vaccine injured plaintiffs in both cases earlier this month, petitioned the courts in both cases to hear in-person testimony by five expert witnesses regarding the safety and efficacy of the mRNA COVID-19 vaccines. You see how they keep doing this? They keep admitting they're vaccines. And then if they're not vaccines and bioweapons, why are you presenting any testimony that they would be safe and effective? They might be effective, all right, but it's not safe, unless you're talking about it in a military sense, and it's safe for the implementer of the delivery system, the military of the delivery system, so they're not going to be killed by it. According to Stassen, oral hearings will be held in both cases next year, but the hearing dates have not been scheduled. Stassen seeks to consolidate the cases. Whoa, big mistake. Same at Turner. Big mistake. The expert witnesses include, and listen to the influencers here, Catherine Austin Fitz, founder and publisher of the Solari Report and former assistant secretary of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, Sasha Latapova, a former food pharmaceutical research and development executive, Joseph Sansoni, PhD, a psychotherapist who is litigating to prohibit mRNA vaccines in Florida, Catherine Watt, a researcher and paralegal. Hope you find those. Latapova and Watt, familiar. We've had them on the network. Again, thanks to Sound for looking to curate all this information to bring it together, to bring a consistent voice coming through the Real Liberty Media Network. Again, you can donate. We missed the donation month. We're probably going to start going through that if I can get this thing regular for myself and the other hosts. And we'll try to do that again, get some more donations in to pay for everything that's been going on, really fronted up right now. We need coverage and help on the donations big time. I haven't been out to say it. I mean, way I shouldn't have to say it, but I guess we do. So anyway, I hope you appreciate what Sound Minds is doing. Sound is putting us together. Sasha Latapova and Catherine Watt has been on the network after I did those discussions and pointed out how they were consistent and how Sasha Latapova proved what I had said about it being a military action, correct? She found all the contracts, right? All the black and white. Mike Yeadon, PhD and pharmacologist and former vice president of Pfizer's Allergy and Respiratory Research Unit. Earlier this month, Stassen and the expert witnesses released a series of YouTube videos presenting their evidence and proposed testimony. During last week's press conference, Stassen said the plaintiffs and the broader public, quote, are victims of people who unjustly suppress the truth. Quote, by suppressing the truth, my clients were misled. But do you think it would be a little bit better to say, wait, those are bioweapons and not make that a question? You think the truth that it's a bioweapon in law would have been much more powerful to explain to people instead of all those people that you heard in a list, as honorable as they might be and are, in large part, and their work, it seems to be right up front. Sasha Latapova was coming right at it. Catherine Watt came as a paralegal to explain she believes it's impossible to attack. I'm not so sure. It doesn't matter. Obviously, the people at the habeas corpuses early on were attacking it, so there's something that you can do. But neither here nor there about that. Are those folks going to do more than tell the truth? Is the attorney going to do more than to tell the truth in the law? The attorney doing the law about these and not making it a question? Or are they misled now by the attorney who did not point out that these juices, these formulations, these synthetic lab constructions are bioweapons? By suppressing the truth, my clients were misled. Well, they are continuing to be misled by the attorneys who are not make a question on whether or not the injections are bioweapons. And say they're vaccines, right in the complaint. Just astonishing to me. Had they not been misled, they would not have gotten the COVID-19 shot, a shot that suppressors of the truth still tout as safe and effective vaccines to this day. Safe and effective vaccines aside, had they went to their local communicable disease law, and this is not to exonerate what happened in the government to attack us, had everybody went to their communicable disease law, they would not have been misled. So they were not actually misled had they relied on that local communicable disease law. Everywhere, folks. I was blown away how consistent it was across. To talk about attorneys being everywhere and making model laws. That was another proof. Again, I was not wrong to view the great COVID swindle as the event, example, and definition for us to learn from par excellence to get us in the right mindset. It is, if people would just go and look at that. So while this promotion is promising on this lawsuit, or these lawsuits, these are problematic cases, and in light of the number of others that have failed, it brings into scrutiny the experts testifying, and whether, at least to my mind, that they aren't controlled opposition, despite what they seem to support. For instance, what has the Great Reset, as Catherine Austin Fitz is said to be testifying to, have to do directly to evidence that jabs are bioweapons? Nothing. And the experts aren't said to be asserting the pertinent law upon which they rely to support the relevance of their evidence, nor relying directly on communicable disease law. None that I have read about are said to be giving testimony on the fact, straightforward fact, that as a matter of law, jabs are bioweapons. And this is not a question for a court applying the law to those providing the bioweapon to others to further their private objectives while causing irreparable harm. Because self-evidently, that's what bioweapons are designed to do. Cause irreparable harm or death. Just as President Trump did at Warp Speed, under a program that expert Sasha Latapova's testimony might contribute to explaining the military origins and bioweapon deployment, though not the evidence in American law that the jabs are defined as being prohibited bioweapons with criminal penalties. They could probably introduce that there, even if Dutch law, doesn't have the definition of what a bioweapon is and that it's prohibited. I would say they need to import it if it's not there, bring it into evidence if it's not there. But just on the surface, I'm not sure how they would treat that. So where was the Dutch government long before now to prosecute those crimes as I've been describing them, relative to the law that goes on, relative to the fact of the bioweapon existence. It's yet another problem for these cases in the courts of the governments covering and hiding their accountability. And again, I just responding, if you don't see this knowledge as a revolution that's not been in societies, what I'm talking about right now, how to go through this, I don't think you're listening. Again, it's being aware, allow yourself to become aware, allow yourself to understand your failings, allow yourself to know that you can be bested and you're going to be protecting against that everywhere you can. You're not going to do it out of your opinion. That's why I'm saying, again, the courts, the judges provide opinions. The fact that we're dealing with these chemistries, these synthetic, novel, patented substances are bioweapons is not a question for an opinion. And something that'll kill you deader than COVID, interacting with armed government agents. Woman killed by ICE was 37-year-old mom. Wall urges Minnesotans not to take the bait and hold violent demonstrations. The woman killed by an ICE officer in Minneapolis on Wednesday has been identified as 37-year-old Nicole Renee Good. And yes, I'm going back, and it's interesting, not having done any broadcasts, I kind of went on hold on the content that I have. I'm going to bring it up right now to show you, Willie, did I miss anything? Is this almost the same? Look at what we passed on to get on till today, which is now the world near war, and certainly an economic war, from this, which is still relevant, and this is still imposing itself even more so on the American people. By the same lunatic that's running around the world bombing countries because he just says it's up to him. No law. Quote, Renee was a resident of our city who was out caring for her neighbors this morning, and her life was taken today at the hands of federal government, the Minneapolis City Council said in a statement. Her mother, Donna Ganger, says she lived in the Twin Cities with her partner. Renee was one of the kindest people I've ever known. Thousands of people attended a vigil near the shooting site Wednesday evening. Good was shot in her vehicle on a street in South Minneapolis. Mayor Jacob Frey rejected federal authorities' claims that an officer shot Good in self-defense as she tried to run officers down. Quote, having seen the video myself, I want to tell everybody directly, this is bull, he said. Wonder if he added the rest. These are hyphenated here. And Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who has promised a full investigation, expressed anger at the shooting and urged Minnesotans not to, quote, take the bait with violent protests. Quote, do not take the bait. Do not allow them to deploy federal troops into here. Do not allow them to invoke the Insurrection Act. Do not allow them to declare martial law, close quote, Walz said. Quote, do not allow them to lie about the security and decency of this state, and let's let this investigation play out, close quote. Caitlin Callinson, who witnessed the shooting, tells NPR News that the woman whose car was stopped in the street was given conflicting orders by officers. Yes, they do that, don't they? Give conflicting orders. Is that following good training? Because the police, they sound like armed idiots when giving incongruent orders, as I've experienced. Like, they have no training or no intelligence or both, because I've had firsthand that experience. And as far back as 1993, when some stupid local crooked cops did the same thing, set up a fraudulent situation, got pissed when I avoided the trap, then pulled me over, threatening my life with their amped up, stupid on steroids, incongruent, impossible to comply with commands that they are in complete control over. And despite I was innocent, as the subsequent court case dismissal proved 9 months after the fact, and the cop got his backside bruised by the judge pretty good on that one. Quote, some of them were leaving and they just went around her. But ICE gave her orders to leave, while at the same time another ICE person said, "Get out of the car," and he reached for her door handle, and then there was the ICE agent in front of her vehicle. So it was difficult for her to leave as she'd been ordered to do so, Kellenson said. Quote, she turned her steering wheel toward the right. The person was grabbing her door handle. The ICE officer who was in front of her vehicle shot once from the front and twice from the side, hitting her maybe 3 feet away at the max. But look closer at the videos. The federal goon was pulling his gun and advancing on the car before the wheels even began to spin to gain traction on the ice. Not the ICE officer, on the precipitation that had frozen the ice on the ground. Because she was shot and she was already trying to leave, her foot was on the accelerator and she crashed into a telephone pole. Emily Heller, another witness, said Good apparently, quote, got spooked and tried to flee. You think? Quote, she reversed a little bit and then angled her wheel so that she could drive away. And as she was trying to move forward, one of the ICE agents stepped in front of her vehicle and reached across the hood and fired his weapon about 3 or 4 times, close quote. Video provided by Heller shows that a man who identified himself as a doctor asked if he could check Good's pulse, but the ICE officer denied the request. And as I read that, I hope you're taking a list, making up a list of what these federales do, what these cops do. And you've watched this happening over years, how they start to get in the way, where it used to be you caused the survival of somebody. No, they get in the way and they cause your death, because you don't make a very good witness if you're dead, do you? So take note of what and how they do this and what's involved when an interaction with someone who believes they're immune or can be made immune operates. The lack of accountability raises the stakes immensely. At a news conference, Homeland Security Kristi Noem described Good's actions as, quote, domestic terrorism, and said Good was, quote, harassing and impeding law enforcement operations, close quote. Now, some of you were in on that and listened to it at the time. I'm hoping you shook your head, but I also told you, look at what they call you. I've been saying this for a year, decade, over a decade now. You're presumed a domestic terrorist, and they're going to call you that right up front. And they enjoy the presumption of right, the power of being right. But the video aside, I don't need to see it either. Homeland Security Kristi Noem needs to face a jury for manslaughter and an immediate resignation and not allowed to continue in any governmental capacity. Harassing and impeding law enforcement operations is not domestic terrorism, is it? She's a disgrace, absolutely. Everybody around Trump seems to be this. I think he puts these people, it's like I keep thinking about the program The Apprentice. He put a bunch of stupid people around him so he could fire them. Make him look good. In that case, it wasn't the commander-in-chief that has the power over the world by what he does. And now we see the silver screen kind of playing out in real life, and now people die. But you're a domestic terrorist. I want you to remember that. I've been telling you that was going on. That came from the PATRT Act. So remember what they are, what you're presumed. I've gone through these stories numerous times over the years. Now it's coming right up to the surface. And they're not bashful about this at all. But she's a disgrace, can't be trusted. It's like her flying monkeys being not too intelligent. And in part because she jumped on the self-defense canard without any investigation, presuming criminal or terroristic intent by the driver, the 37-year-old Renee Nicole Good. That's a policy of official abuse. Her stupidity puts people in harm's way. That's STOOPIDITY for the hearing sensitive. She said that Good hit the officer with her car and that he was treated at a hospital and released. It's not clear from the video whether the car actually made contact with the officer. But even if it did, He's not intelligent enough to give enough room to a departing rig, right? Especially one being attacked by another monkey. In a post on Truth Social, President Trump said, quote, the woman driving the car was very disorderly, obstructing and resisting, who then violently, willfully, and viciously ran over the ICE officer who seems to have shot her in self-defense, close quote. Adding that from the video of the incident, quote, it's a hard to believe he is alive. But what does Trump know? Whatever you have to say. He says whatever it takes to hide your crimes, right? But look at the list of things they laid out. Is the list of things that you're presumed to have been done. It's just written in the processes anymore. But does disorderly conduct, obstructing and resisting, willfully and viciously running over somebody, an automatic death sentence? Anyway, does it make you a domestic terrorist? Go read about domestic terrorists, defined in U.S. Code, how they use it. It's not the dictionary definition, which is government, that which rules by fear, intimidation, and dread. No, they have our special definition, and you need to go read it so that you know why Renee Good was not a domestic terrorist. But they call him that. But he's also into deny, 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 right? That's how the attorneys have advised him. This is a guy that you ask him a question, he says, I don't know. Why? Because he doesn't know. He actually does not know. He's only told stuff. It's in his mind how he works, right? I could go through that too. I'm not going to quite yet. Maybe next week. Proving he's not working from the law, which would be used to protect us. It makes this whole situation, our existence today, a very questionable and dangerous space. In a post on X, Kamala Harris called the shooting, the incident, shocking. Quote, Governor Walz has announced the state will ensure a fair investigation, and I'm grateful for his swift action, she said. Quote, many of us have seen the horrifying and painful video, which makes it clear that Trump's administration's explanation of this shooting is pure gaslighting. And a fair and full investigation at the state level is absolutely necessary. Well, that's right, but why is that a question? My disliking of Governor Walz and politics aside, why didn't Trump insist on a full and fair investigation at the state level before opening his big blabbermouth? Why? Because he's the greatest salesman, not the greatest president. Right, Boeing? You want what he's selling now? I think you federal degenerates need to be respectful of people and where they live. You need a huge, huge helping of humility and compassion at the very least. They need a healthy, non-jab harm, but healthy respect for the law and due process. People appear to be responding to these federal injustices they perceive. That is their right pursuant to the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. You don't put your goons in harm's way, then complain they feared for their lives. Cowards. Criminals under color of law. Remember, I've gone through this extortion and coercion definitions under your state law. They have a color of authority that they have lack of warrant to do and take something from you is extortion, a property taken from you without, under color of authority without the right. If they affect a right of that property or a right that's been given in law, that's felony coercion. Pretty clear, black and white. The revolution is you knowing that and start applying it. Don't give in. Don't be quiet. So in this case, Donald, I see dead people, Trump, your monkey ran up to the car after the driver was waved to get out of the area, and the driver promptly turned her wheel to leave when she was told to. But another poorly trained gun-toting monkey felt threatened for his life when all he had to do was stay away from the SUV as it left. Doesn't need any training to understand that. There does need to be training to do the opposite. He was quick enough to draw his gun before the rig begins to move, then shoot frontally to murder an American, Renee Nicole Good, remember her name, shooting twice more from the side when the agent was no longer under the threat of being hit by the rig, never appearing to be intending to harm him, was what I saw. But this primate wasn't quick enough, wasn't intelligent enough to simply move out the way before he drew his gun. I'm supposed to believe that's his self-defense action? Or is it evidence Trump and the federal government don't actually care about you? How many more do you watch before it becomes you? If these monkeys are trained, as Noam says, to stand in front of a rig, the driver of which was just told to depart the area, then the monkeys are poorly trained, stupid animals. Are these agents that stupid that they don't know how a rig would depart the area? Or that it was departing the area as instructed along the only path available? But being stupid animals is still no excuse, however trained, is it? If you're not poorly trained, or not trained to violate the law and the rights of people, you certainly don't invade the hometowns of people and attack them, put them in harm's way, attempt to hijack their rigs, abduct them, or kill them when they try to escape from the tyranny or the unarrested tyrant. As is clearly occurred if you look at the video, clearly. There was zero reason for what the monkey did. Anyone in any use of a gun has the obligation to not use that gun improperly and has the obligation to use it properly, or whenever another option is apparent, to not resort to a weapon that may be available. These officials are the ones responsible for the situation, more so where outnumbering the person being engaged. Minimal force is to be the guiding principle here. The local cops could have dealt with any problem she caused better than murdering Renee Nicole Good extrajudicially. Sound familiar? Oh, bummer. Your masked monkeys need to be euthanized, Trump. If they can't be decent, we don't need them around. And the local police state, take note. We don't need you around, frankly, or your state-sponsored violence for that matter. And why did your gun goon murder a legal observer of federal actions in the city in cold blood? Witness tampering? Where did you get this bloodthirst? From Satan Yehu? Now, my first experience with this police state holier-than-thou attitude over innocent people was in 1993, as I said. The terrifying experience. Not knowing in the next moment whether I was going to be alive and in... You need to understand, too, what the innocent, rational mind is coping with in that moment. There's no time to respond to such a threat, and the incongruent nature of the commands. It's not because the victim is slow to understand. The victim's trying to process the insult understands very well there is no command that can be followed that won't violate another command that will be getting you shot. You sense that almost immediately. And your mind's trying to figure out how to work it through really quickly. These goons set up an unconscionable situation. And they know about it. They train to do this. And then they laugh about it later. This woman didn't even have a moment to think, to be, to make, or to follow more than the first command that made sense. Leave the area. And she was murdered for that ultimate compliance with a prior command. But this is not the new condition. It's not a new thing at all. As I said, my first experience, the wool being ripped from my eyes, was back in 1993. Well, where did America went? Where did America went? And guess what? It's still here. That nonsense is here. It hasn't been corrected. And it's a continuing threat to everyone, anywhere. And this is what got my attention long ago, that things were terribly wrong with this country, state, and local, and federal. And it needs to stop, you last-class, low-life police state types. And as I said, but in prior episodes, ICE on ICE is not good for the agency. How about that training include taking Fallujah out of the military killer and putting someone behind the wheel that knows about snow and ice more than sand, wind, and stop making yourselves a nuisance to the locals that for all intents didn't appear to have any problems moving about when one of your sand monkeys got stuck in the snow causing the ruckus? It would have been better for you to call the local cops to bring some measure of road order than shooting your way out of Fallujah, Minneapolis. Just saying. But I've got a link to one of the federal extrajudicial murder vids for those of you who want to revisit this. Make sure to slow it down, looking at everything. I also want people to take note. The woman, I think she was in a beanie, on the non-shooting side, on the blind side for the driver, right up against the SUV behind, was slightly at risk while the driver positioned the rig to leave when backing up toward her that very short distance that it does, just as a small, slow reversing arc. Even in the haste of the moment, the driver didn't panic enough to hit the throttle uncontrollably like after she got shot. To the contrary, it looks like she was very aware that she didn't want to run anyone over. And what would we expect more than from a mother of three? I don't know, more than mothers are very careful, but typically, that I've watched around people. Jokes about women drivers aside, no, this one looked very cautious. She was trying to get out of there as best she could. She didn't run the woman over behind her. Didn't pinch her, didn't squish her behind the, but between the other rig either. And it seemed to be a natural movement of that rig asked to leave. And doing so, the driver shows no intention to run over that woman whatsoever in her haste, who was able to avoid the rig by stepping a bit back out the way. Common sense. Common sense the monkey did in front of her doesn't have. It appears she was never thought she was going to be run over there. She does take a step back, more out of concern for her general safety by creating some distance, it seemed to me. Again, you can watch these yourself, make your own determinations. And I get the sense she was, as well as some of the officers, other than the trigger-happy shooter, were surprised at the gunfire, as the driver likely was. As I said, the driver in this point doesn't have a thought, and they're just trying to respond. There's really nothing going on in their brain whatsoever, if I take my experience at all. You're just trying to survive the moment, and you're trying to figure out how. You got five different commands coming at you. Which one do you choose? And you know if you pick one, you can already tell in the list. Your mind works so quickly, you can tell in the list that if you one any number of incongruent steps will be a violation of another one. Right? So you realize you're stuck pretty quick. And they just gave her two and she was essentially stuck. So they were probably surprised. She was still in I need to get out of here mode. And I also want to have you look on the video closely at the murdering monkey's feet. It was claimed his foot got broke to support the lie he was run over. But look carefully at his feet. They're nowhere near the tires of the SUV. A video following the crash shows him walking away on snow and ice. No apparent foot damage either. And why would there be any damage to him when no part of the SUV touched him? So watch and tell me what you think. Send me an email or whatever, wherever you can get the comments. I'll give you the links to the vid. It's called Ice Agents Fatally Shoot Woman in Minneapolis, Officials Say. And I'm oh so glad that the officials are here to tell us. Like, we can't use our own eyes and brains to consider what we need to do about these evidences and what we want to think, showing we live in an occupied territory. Go through the list of what they immediately came out with. No proof, no investigation, and I will tell you that it matches what they've been saying that they're going to impose and presume upon all of us. You're talking about Minority Report, pre-crime? You're already living it. You've been living it since 9-1-1. It's the occupied territory of immediate comply-or-die commands, even if you won't be allowed to comply, and you had every intention to try to stand with your hands up. Get on the ground with your hands behind your back, or get back in the car all at the same time. The answer to me in 1993 when the twinkling red and blue flashing light fairies that appeared just over the cop's ear got my attention to stop what was likely a very stupid alternative action on my part to try to save my life instead of the nonsense being yelled at me, was to very loudly command back the question clearly and calmly, which one? I paused for a very short moment and watched to make sure this steroidal cop had heard me. The look on his face changed, and then I said, I can't comply with all your commands at once. Which one do you want me to do? That stymied the cop. He stuttered and mumbled a bit, looking at the three other cops with their guns pointed at me. He couldn't even decide. He was quiet for that moment and then said, get back in your car. Looking again at the other cops pointing their guns at me and the two other cruisers that were the twinkling red and blue flashing light fairies arriving from behind that I saw coming down the road, while I stared at this cop through his door, I loudly and clearly answered the command, get back in your car, with why? So you can shoot me? I asked that because down the road in another town a few months prior, the cops murdered a guy. I think his name was Lee Cole. Murdered in his pickup trying to escape from a made-up threat that the state police and local cops said he was to them. See how they do this? It hasn't changed. 1993, same plan. Where'd they learn this? They thought they made up he was a threat. Although he was just lost. From out of state, he got lost, finds himself at the state police office near the highway. He is only trying to seek medical help from the state police at their office. I didn't want to be that second example. I looked at the other cops again, then back at the first officer. He dropped his head for the briefest moment to contemplate his stupid demand, and I could see it on his face for what should have never been a stop in the first place. For something he made up. He made it up about me. And a lot more calmly, he said, no, just get back in your car. I looked at each cop, made eye contact, and slowly got back into my rig. 15 minutes later, he walked up and handed me a citation. And because it was wrong what they did and why they did it, with the help of some newfound friends in the law library, I set out on a journey, a study, to stop these official criminals abusing me. And it turns out that everybody is subject to this, as I've been talking about. That study makes up a part of the exceedingly underappreciated revolution you hear me discuss behind the woodshed. Well, for those that listen, not many listen too well for all their criticism. Right, BitChuteCracker? Some, but not many, seem interested either. Well, more than the sensation for the moment. Most want someone else to do their work. This murder in Minneapolis got me thinking, with my experience decades ago, and this isn't the first American killed by ICE, just the latest, and using the same dastardly techniques local holier-than-thou cops have been using for decades. This is not just an ICE problem for us. We are told by government that the murder victims are terrorists of some sort, obstructing justice, or whatever works, whatever it takes, right, Trump? That Trump is the worst manifestation of this. But I was a victim of this sort of abuse, as are and have been many, many others. Alex Petrie even beyond and after this. This is not a lone occurrence, for sure, and I'd never experienced such a thing prior to that. Completely innocent, and with such stupidity coming at you all at once. As I very nearly lost my life. I don't know how close, but I had to come very close. I can't tell you how close it felt. I had shifted into a sort of hyper-awareness, hyper-time, feeling the air moving past the hairs in my ears as I focused on my entire being on making a potentially last move to save my life because, to my way of thinking, the cop had taken away every option to comply, subjecting me to being murdered in the next moment, or for not moving. In the very last moment, everything fell away except the cop's face, right above his open door and window, my only out, beginning to make my move seamless, invisible, that the cops didn't notice. Then my total concentration on the objective, the red and blue flashing light fairies appeared right above the cop's ear, and that broke my concentration. Maybe stupid, but it's the last thing I was going to come up with. All these guns pointed at you, and more coming. And in that moment, after my concentration broke, I felt finished. I had no edge. I was done. I was dead. I let my concentration lapse and had no surprise move to go to the distance of the open door, the window of the cruiser that I was standing in front of. And he yelled at me a couple more times, but I stood there paralyzed until I gained my voice and authority to simply ask, which one? Turned out the cops made it all up just to make my life a living hell because they didn't like what I looked like because, you know, a face for radio and all. And it probably didn't help. I could drive my rig better than them and not break any laws. I got around. It starts by me getting around their rolling roadblock. But that apparently pissed them off as they tried to set their coordinated trap in a heavy traffic to obstruct my travel. I found out later that they had been tracking me every time I came into town for months prior and fairly knew my usual routes. I'm totally oblivious. I'm innocent. I'm just moving my inside, going to the mountain, coming back down, get my victuals and back. Like they had nothing better to do, right? They wanted to make my life difficult just 'cause. Same thing here with Renee Nicole Good. Not sure why the hand of God stepped in to help me in 1993, but not Renee Nicole Good in 2026. Not sure why at all. Not good. For good. At least her life here with her kids, and her husband anyway. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 661. And I've got another link to one of the federal extrajudicial murders, another one here for you, just to see for yourself if you didn't look at it or it wasn't interesting to you. It was an experience I had that looked like it repeats itself over and over now with ICE. And it becomes important to identify ICE and why I've been starting to point out what they've been doing relative to the news and how they're being made prominent. ICE agent calls legal observer domestic terrorist. Highly consistent with what I've been saying, and I didn't make this up. I just read it in the law. You can too. An ICE agent in Portland, Maine reveals the reason why they film and photograph people. Quote, we have a nice little database, and now you're considered a domestic terrorist. Close quote. I hope that this shocks y'all. Maybe you're all numbed. Don't be numbed. Understand what's going on. Understand how they're locking this gulag down, how they set it up. Iced another American. If the Second Amendment does not apply to this kind of a moment, what do people think it's for? A citizen can legally carry, see masked federal agents beating someone in public, move towards the scene to help, and then get erased with a hail of bullets because, quote, he had a gun, close quote. This excuse is an insult in a country where possession is legal by design, where the whole point is the public never becomes a disarmed audience watching state power operate with impunity. I'm not interested in arguing frame-by-frame footage. I'm interested in the principle that a free people cannot accept a standard where lawful carry becomes a death sentence that second authority feels threatened. If that is the standard, then the Second Amendment has been reduced to a vibe. Vibe coding, anyone? The founders did not write it so Republicans could do militia cosplay on weekends. DHS just framed today's situation as, quote, an individual intending to do maximal damage because he was carrying a pistol with an extra magazine. Another comment made regarding all this issue, they have yet to complete an investigation. They hate citizens with firearms. Take note, folks. Don't think that we've talked about this before, because this is still a problem. If we've handled it, it wouldn't be a problem. ICE is killing Americans on the streets, and the propaganda justifying it sounds very Israeli. Now, behind the woodshed, we the people, you've heard, we the people were tested during the Great COVID Shutdown and found wanting. execution in the streets by federal agents calling you the terrorist as a result. And I'm trying to show you how highly consistent this has all been in building to get here, and here we are. Another comment made during this time period was, there is no violation against individual liberty and freedom by this administration that MAGA won't defend. And we're watching the division that's happening in this country as well. How they're going to keep it, the agenda rolling, as we cannot come together. And how quickly, just amazing, has everybody been stepping back and watched the psychology that was done to take a bunch of people that would have said defend rights to now saying, no, let the government be a thug. Let it be a war criminal. I agree. Let's be a war criminal. Let's go bomb people and commit genocide to steal their stuff. Just cause. Another comment, a U.S. law official essentially says that if you legally carry a gun and if it is holstered and you approach law enforcement for any purpose, they can murder you and it's completely justified. The U.S. Constitution, particularly the 2nd, 4th, and the 14th, prohibit officers from shooting citizens merely for possessing a weapon that is not an imminent threat. This was reaffirmed in Graham versus Connor, which says force must be reasonable. And if agents can pull a legal firearm from your holster, then open fire on you because you had a firearm, then no one actually has the right to conceal carry. And I think that might have come from Judge Knapp. People making observations at this time. We're going to have to convert this on to action at some point. Watching ICE murder innocent Americans is like watching the IDF murder innocent Palestinians. ICE will murder as many Americans as it takes to keep us safe from the roofers in Home Depot parking lots. Again, ICEs for immigration. This is what Trump devolved our nation to. In order to actually get you to want voter registration so that you have to get the real ID. And lock yourself in. And how stupid are people going to be that they're going to do that? It just blows me away to watch this. I just want to shake my head, want to give up, walk away. The great Kobe Swindle explained it. You watch the flip, and then you watch all the people that would have talked about rights saying, yeah, give me that ID. Now lock me into the blockchain. Because I want to vote. And nobody goes reads what the voting's about, and nobody reads the laws about it. Nobody understands what a federal registration is. They look at the news, oh, well, federal laws for elections different than state laws. No one looks at that. Why do you have to have an ID when your state law says you don't even have to show the residency? You're an inhabitant. Did anybody look at this stuff? Now, I do have to say I'm really appreciative of whatever guided me to go to the law library at a university to find the Benedict's on Admiralty Encyclopedic Edition and read there for over a week. Did me a favor, I can just tell you that. So much to observe in definitions of words that are universally known and accepted in the United States amongst the people, apparently. And someone like me starts talking about this and it either just ignore it or you think it's interesting. Some of you go and look deeper and then you start seeing it. And thank you to do that for yourself. I just really appreciate when you take the incentive and you go there and you start seeing what's really going on. But to have most people just not listen, not show up, not have a care about themselves and then walk into the traps left and right. Do I laugh or cry? ICE is stepping up its smartphone tracking, but Android 16 has a secret weapon. Let's not get too serious here with this, we got a secret weapon that's protecting you, but listen to what ICE is doing. And don't ever forget, your hardware is compromised. So, and I don't know what we're going to do about this. Part of the problem here for me, I lost my audio. The only thing I could do for this broadcast was what failed, and it's not the hardware. The hardware's fine. It won't go through for me to do the sound. The sound just got degraded terribly, and I haven't solved the problem. So I had to move into a different system and a different set of systems. But this technology is compromised and compromisable. So let's not get lost on what you say, Android 16 is the secret weapon to go after. Just listen to what ICE is doing and wonder why. Why are you considered now by ICE to be subject? needs to be found out about and how that's being violated. And you're going to look at that in your immigration laws, your Title 8, I think it is, or is it Title 5? Go find it. That's where you start getting to all these different terms that are, so really they make it convoluted, but you need to start understanding. ICE ordered a bunch of vehicles that tracked cell phones because, of course, it did. Things are bad in the U.S. right now with the current administration deploying all the tricks in its bag against the perceived political enemies. And that means a huge, huge crackdown on anyone appearing even remotely foreign. And remember, U.S. is foreign to the states, several states of the United States. It's a district. It's not a state. So we're foreign. That's why they have jurisdiction over what's resident. That's the displaced slave that they took control over. Although we're getting so many years past, I don't know that anybody recognizes any of that. You're certainly not going to get the bought and paid for and part of the globalist system, Bar Association products, to acknowledge any of that. But you can read for it. You can see it. You can understand it, what I ask you to do, and then put that in your own form and move that through the best you can. And that means a huge, huge crackdown on anyone appearing or even remotely foreign. You're all foreign, remotely. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, has found itself leading this effort with sweeping raids targeting vulnerable communities, all too often leaving divided families and heartbreak in its wake. Again, if you think that, they're looking just for illegal immigrants, understand they're looking at everybody, and two Americans are now dead, and more have died. As or not, that's the ones we hear about. There's more if you just keep looking. They're killing people. Doing the method that I experienced in 1993 that caught my attention. Maybe that whole night that happened to me was to get my attention because I didn't have, I was just going along thinking everything was hunky-dory in the world. Not really, but yes, it was still hunky-dory. And remember, we were just coming out of the 80s, and that was a really difficult, very stressful time, tenuous time in the population. And go back to that history, and you'll see we're coming out of a time, and the feds decided they better back off. They then went after a few people, the militias then, and then they started to bring those in tow. That squashed a lot of people's activities, and that kind of tamped down what the feds were doing. Like Trump just did in Minneapolis right after by going in and then saying, we're going to pull everybody out after they killed somebody. Too late. But no, we're going to go ahead and force our way in. It's not really much different. It's just on the scale and what they affected. Federal procurement data system records that ICE spending over $800,000 earlier this year on cell site stimulator CSS vehicles. That's a slightly more innocuous sounding way to refer to the hardware we colloquially know as Stingray or IMSI, the International Mobile Subscriber Identity Catcher. International Mobile Subscriber Identity Catcher. So far ahead of us. It's basically a fake cell tower that goes around shouting, quote, how do you do, cell phones? I am totally regular cellular tower and you should try to connect to me. With all the subtlety of an undercover Steve Buscemi. That effectively allows a Stingray to create a record of all cellular devices in the vicinity. An agency like ICE might use this kind of tech for everything from monitoring attendance at protests to attempting to locate individuals for tracking down their phones. None of this is anything new for ICE. Let me read that again. Nothing of this is anything new for ICE. And you're just hearing about it all. You're just seeing it in the streets. They've been doing this. And every American's been under the gun of this underneath immigration law. Why? I'm not an immigrant. Right? No. You're all part of this situation relative to being foreign to the district but being resident. And go look at your registrations, please, very carefully. Even your state law embraces all that. I want to ask you a question. Is there a revolution in questioning whether if you are or not, and then saying or making yourself, situating yourself so you don't look resident? You ever thought about that revolution, BitChute Cracker? None of this is anything new to ICE. Fascinating statement right there, which has been employing stingray-like devices in operations for years. Now remember, they're making that database and its pictures and its sound and all that stuff, too. They're out there collecting all this data. They've been doing this for a long time. This is not anything new. We're just hearing about it. But as the agency equips itself with more and more ways to monitor Americans, what was the name of this group again? Immigration and Customs Enforcement. And they're studying Americans? Why? Those of us likely to be targeted should similarly be seeking out the latest news about those efforts and the options that exist to protect our most vulnerable friends and family. The good news is that tools exist to help protect you from hardware like this. We've seen efforts to build DIY hardware capable of detecting the presence of stingrays, like the EFF's Ray Hunter project. Users who have already updated their phones to Android 16 can even tap into some system-level protections with a new network notifications option. Just make sure you toggle that one on, and it's not enabled by default. No, of course not. Don't want the natives to know they are presumed to be terrorists and being tracked by default. Right? See how consistent this is? But there is a little thing, the network finder that you can do on Android 16. There are devices, and this becomes the electronics war against us is expanding what we need to know about if we're going to present ourselves anywhere to understand how they might treat us. How to stay away from it, I think, is a better option. And like I have said before, but behind the woodshed about the network and Real Liberty Media, trying to making that system, I should say it that way, that will allow us really to federate, decentralize it all, and it won't matter what they do on the internet. You want to talk about a deep and dark web? Yeah, we're going to work out how that works for everybody. If you're willing, if you're able, step up. Like I said, the donations need to come in. The foundation of the hub is started, and it's being built and now functioning. As you've been watching over the last couple months, the changes going on and things not working for a while and then working again. Behind all that, there's the idea of moving into the new technology that disappears you. On top of it, you're going to need these other devices eventually to see whether or not you're being scrutinized and what's being scrutinized. Microsoft gave FBI keys to unlock encrypted data, exposing major privacy flaw. The tech giant said it receives about 20 requests for BitLocker keys a year and will provide them to governments in response to valid court orders. But companies like Apple and Meta set up their systems so such a privacy violation isn't possible. Earlier last year, the FBI served Microsoft with a search warrant, asking it to provide recovery keys to unlock encrypted data stored on 3 laptops. Federal investigators in Guam believe that the devices held evidence that would help prove individuals handled the island's COVID unemployment assistance program were part of a plot to steal funds. Oh, they don't look at the states that stole the funds under false allegations. They had an infectious agent, a non-fraudulent infectious agent they never tested for, and there is no test. No, they go after the people in Guam. Maybe they should be gone after all of them, but they certainly haven't gone after the states and the state public officials to help save you from next time's route, is it? Go after each and every state government for fraudulently accepting those federal COVID swindle bribes when you're done then. Right? Folks, maybe ask them. The Guam case is the first known instance where the Redmond Washington Company has provided an encryption key to law enforcement. Back in 2013, a Microsoft engineer claimed it had been approached by government officials to install backdoors in BitLocker, but had turned the requests down. Senator Ron Wyden said in a statement to Forbes that it is, quote, simply irresponsible for tech companies to ship products in a way that allows them to secretly turn over users' encryption keys, close quote. And he's the same guy that's been in office forever, it seems, and allows ICE to do what they do. Well, what's the difference? Allowing ICE or other Trump goons to secretly obtain a user's encryption keys is giving them access to the entirety of that person's digital life and risks the personal safety of security of users and their families, he added. Okay, so he talks about it. What's he done about it, right? We could talk. He's there watching it. This guy's watching this happen. Calls it out. Oh, well, he gets big kudos for that, but does it stop? Why Americans? Why is that? That didn't even come up there, you notice. Well, I guess they can go after the Americans. It's fine. But they got to be protected, I guess, somewhat. This isn't an issue in the U.S. Jennifer Granick Surveillance and Cybersecurity Council at ACLU noted that the foreign governments with questionable human rights records also demand data from their giants like Microsoft. Quote, remote storage and decryption keys can be quite dangerous, she said. Quote, this is private data on private computer, and they made the architectural choice to hold access to that data. They absolutely should be treating it like something that belongs to the user, said Matt Green, cryptography expert and associate professor at where, folks? Johns Hopkins University Information Security Institute. Johns Hopkins, where the great Kobe Swindle event 201 fraud plot was hatched. And I have to say, this Microsoft story was important in my one regard here, because though I tried to go through Linux, I still cannot wean myself from things I need to do for the broadcast that work only in Microsoft. And in fact, I did well with the Linux. Mint. I was in Mint, but Mint has some problems. And I don't want to say that Linux is no good. I would like to be in Linux, but I have some things I need to do. And Linux and the new programs I would have to learn weren't the same workflow. A lot more work than what I've worked out inside the Windows. Well, getting into a new system with Windows 10, horrors, folks. I found out that Windows 10 is taking all their data. They're using all the CPU and all the throughput. I have a problem with connectivity anyway. And they were taking everything just to do their data, just to shift their stuff from your computer to their servers. Before I can talk with you today, I had to go through and make that system. I had to de-Microsoft the Windows 10 system. I found out it could be done. I had to remove all the telemetry. I had to get rid of all the programs running all the CPU power so that I would have a system that I could use for me. It doesn't happen in Windows 7. Never did. And so I Windows 10, and then I de-HP'd the hardware, because HP gets in the way to throttle everything. It's kind of like throttling a rental truck so you don't blow it up. No, it makes it totally unusable. So all this time spent was trying to get a system that would function. You think this is 26. I mean, you think there would be they would have solved all this. No, it's getting worse, I guess is the point. Microsoft's one of the key players to cause the problem, and they're doing it through their products. They are taking your paying and using, and your time is spent with that while they suck all the energy out of your CPU and your data. And for those of you that have a lot of data, I guess you'll never see it, right? You don't ever see this. But this is what they're doing. And it's going to take a whole lot of effort to get us transferred over into things that we can start using that isn't being stolen by us. And then we're going to have the new next generation hardware is built-in surveillance. So we've got a little bit of going on in front of us. And all these players that you're reading coming out of these stories, Johns Hopkins is in all of it too. The great Kobe Swindle, the data that they're storing it. Then you hear about the Great Reset. Is that a question, folks? Is that a question? Are we being told every news cycle who's in charge and who's going to be in charge, how they're doing it? And speaking of covering for those that need to be held accountable, this from the United States Department of Murder for Peace, because, well, just because we say so, whatever it takes. While seizing Maduro, U.S. forces killed his security guards, Venezuela defense minister says. While kidnapping Venezuela President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores, U.S. military personnel killed most of their security guards and some civilian staff, Venezuela Defense Minister Vladimir Padrino Lopez said on Sunday. Quote, the Bolivarian National Armed Forces strongly rejects the cowardly kidnapping of Nicolas Maduro Moros, constitutional resident of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela and our commander-in-chief, as well as his wife, the First Lady Dr. Celia Flores de Maduro. The crime was committed after a significant part of his security team, military personnel and innocent civilians, was murdered in cold blood, Pedrino Lopez said while addressing the nation. Trump said that the U.S. had conducted a major strike in Venezuela, capturing Maduro and his wife Cecilia Flores, removing them from the country. Get this, folks. What about ICE trying to throw people out, and they're bringing people in? No due process, no respect for other countries' governments or their officers, while Trump claims immunity. The madman. I mean, just ridiculous that what we put up with and allow. Media outlets reported explosions in Caracas, attributing the raid to the U.S. Delta Force units. The American New York Times newspaper reported, citing a senior Venezuelan official, at least 40 deaths, including military and civilians. Venezuelan authorities said that they had no information on Maduro's location and demanded proof that he was alive. Trump later shared a photo that, as he said, showed Maduro aboard the USS Iwo Jima. U.S. media broadcasts a plane landing in New York State, from which Maduro and his wife were allegedly escorted by dozens of law enforcement officers. Several U.S. congressmen decried the operation as illegal, while the administration vowed Maduro would face trial. Foreign Minister of Venezuela announced its intention to appeal to international organizations regarding Washington's actions and requested an urgent meeting with the U.N. Security Council. Russian Foreign Minister voiced solidarity with Venezuela. Talk, talk, talk here, folks. Moscow expressed deep alarm over reports of Maduro and his wife's forcible removal during U.S. aggression, demanding their release and urging steps to avert further escalation around Venezuela. Have you heard any of that fixed? Anything more than just talk, talk, and the United States holds that guy? And I was appreciative of him stepping up into his, in the first hearing to say he was the president. He wasn't just anybody. The United States called him a terrorist. The United States started calling him a narco-terrorist, just like they called Good a domestic terrorist, or Pretty, Alex Pretty, Pretty Good, Alex Pretty, a domestic terrorist. They call him a narco-terrorist, Mr. Maduro. Not a president. Imagine Russia captured Zelensky, Korea exposes hypocrisy after U.S. kidnaps Maduro. The world's lukewarm reaction to Washington's action is a sign of, quote, regression at the civilizational level, close quote, the former Ecuadorian president told RT. Washington has set a, quote, disastrous precedent, close quote, that can throw the world back into, quote, barbarism, close quote, when it captured Venezuela leader Nicolas Maduro, and former Ecuadorian president Rafael Correa has told RT. And guess what? Trump said, he don't care. How do you like someone who stands in the office of President of the United States, supposedly under oath of office to follow the laws, and says, he don't care. He doesn't have to deal with international law. He don't care that what's more than out of his mind. The hypocritical international reaction, he argued, has allowed the U.S. to get away with actions, quote, impossible to accept in the 21st century, close quote. And what have I said? Talk, talk, talk. You know, it's punch the bully in his nose, he's not going to go away, is he? He's a coward anyway, actually. I don't say that with any joy in my heart about someone needs to punch the United States government in the nose. But we need to learn some manners anymore. What happened to those? The hypocritical international reaction has allowed the U.S. to get away with the action. That's right. And I've been saying that even in Palestine, the genocide. Keep talking. Keep rejecting. Keep claiming alarm. Don't do anything. The international law says you have to go do something. The guy tell you behind the woodshed, go, that's, get behind the woodshed, go do something. Something proper. Learn what the foundation is. Go after it from the foundation, what you have to do. That's the revolution, bet shoot cracker. Oh, besides that, as I think about that, I've offered you on the broadcast, and the network offers you a place to get a time slot. And you tell us what your revolution is if you have the answer and I haven't said it. I don't have a problem with that at all. Come on. We got plenty of hours to give you. It's all your study. Bring it on. Let's do a broadcast. Get it out. You bring your information for people to listen for. Bring your revolution. The U.S. Special Forces conducted airstrikes on the oil-rich South American country and captured Maduro, as well as his wife, in an early raid last Saturday, which was January. They were taken to the U.S. and charged with drug trafficking conspiracy, allegations that Maduro has long denied. And I've read those reports going into this time relative to all this. The Venezuelan president has previously warned that Washington was seeking a regime change in his country to get its hands on its natural resources. We've seen that exactly happen, and they claim that it wasn't regime change, but in fact it was, because the vice president said, "That's still our president. I'm just interim." And I told you that was interfering with the civilian side, and that's a war crime. Imagine for a moment that Russian President Vladimir Putin captured Ukraine's Vladimir Zelensky, Korea said, commenting on the development. Can you imagine what the world's response would be? Nothing like the response the United States is getting. Crickets. Sound familiar? Silence. The sound of silence, folks, allows all this nonsense. And then we find out what happens when you punch the bully back in his nose. They start having trouble. Right, Iran? According to the former president, the international reaction to the U.S. action so far was nothing but global hypocrisy and double standards. Quote, "This unprecedented, extraordinary event deserves a much stronger response from the international community," Korea said, adding that Washington trampled on the international law and brought back the times when might makes right. For those of you thinking that Trump means law, that Trump means anything to do with the law. And as I said, the law brings peace when you understand it, like from the property law side. And that's a distinction I make that I don't think anybody else will make. And I've done it forever and ever, and partly from my studies with the mining law. And that becomes production. That goes to your farmers and your ranchers and all your other manufacturers, all your foundational societal support system, that survival system, the necessitous part of your society. It's supposed to be protected, not attacked, not thieved. Quote, "What they're saying is either you do what I say or I'll bomb you again," Korea said. Quote, "It's something extremely dangerous for the entire planet. Not just for Venezuela, not just Latin America," as he said this in January. Let's fast forward a few months, will we? It's dangerous for the whole entire planet, folks. The U.S. operation was strongly condemned by the BRICS members, BRICS, including Russia, China, Brazil, and Iran. But remember, as I believe Tariq Cyril Amar, the historian from Germany, which I'll read in a moment, agrees, multipolarity, as the BRICS represents, will not be enough there to solve this whole thing. Moscow called for Venezuela to be guaranteed the right to determine its own fate. Now, why would they be calling that? They ought to have it under international law. If you're going to be sovereign, you're going to recognize sovereign. That's what's supposed to happen. When you don't recognize sovereign, then you've actually put a question on yourself, haven't you, Trump? Brazilian President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva said that Washington's action, quote, "cross an unacceptable line," close quote, while Beijing called it a hegemonic act, close quote. Reactions from the West were much more muted. EU Foreign Policy Chief Kaja Kallas urged, quote, "restraint," yeah, keep talking, calling for adherence to the UN Charter, keep talking, talk. A follow-up joint statement signed by all EU members, again, European Union, not Europe and individual countries, the Economic Union members, with the exception of Hungary, also neither condemned nor supported the move. And they should have. International law requires it for the talk, and more than talk. And so goes the peaceful expectation of countries and people, because there's no law recognized and no accountability allowed, as everybody talks. The American blitzkrieg on Venezuela, no one is safe. So you understand, I've been pointing this out for years and years and years. Have a standard. Have the foundation. Get the black and white. It creates a foundation that you can objectively work from. And you take that away and you're going to have nothing but what? The Department of Let Them Eat Chaos Administration. And no one is safe. And this is what I was alluding to in my 1993 experience. It took 9 months before we found out, I could find out judicially, if you will, that the cop was wrong, completely wrong, absolutely wrong. And he found out the judge really got angry at him. So 9 months, I would have been dead and cold for 9 months before that would have come out. Then it wouldn't have come out, would it? Why? Because there is, would have been at that point of your death, like Renee Good or Alex Pretty Good. They don't have the right now of accountability, of justice. It's gone. It's taken. The American blitzkrieg on Venezuela. No one is safe. The military incursion and kidnapping of Nicolas Maduro shows how normalized the outrageous has become. After 5 months, really 2.5 decades, and ever-escalating preparations by increasingly diplomatic, economic, and clandestine warfare, the U.S. has finally executed a full regime change invasion in Venezuela. The final attack focused on kidnapping the Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and his wife Celia Flores from the capital Caracas was short, but the campaign was certainly not been bloodless. While we know little about what exactly happened on the ground, Washington's perfectly criminal strikes on the alleged smuggling boats at sea, which served as the core of the attack's preparatory propaganda barrage, had already killed over 100 victims, not to speak of the overlooked victims of sanctions. We hear in Cuba here what the United States has been doing for decades. Then what American officials have called a, quote, large-scale strike, close quote, against Venezuela in the early hours of January the 3rd targeted not only Caracas, but several locations throughout the country. For whatever reason, resistance to this, quote, dark and deadly, close quote, in President Trump's own words, operation, seems to have been minimal. In view of the long and very visible military buildup, as well as a psychological warfare campaign that preceded these night raids, it is hard to believe that they came as a surprise. And I want you to go again. This author is writing a list of things to understand. When you see these things, you know you're being played against. Again, Libra Code 101, the very first. You know them when you see them. They give evidence of what they do. They're not going to tell you that they're coming at you, that they're an occupying force, that they're an invasion. You'll see the clues. You know them by their fruits. Let's put it that way again, a different way. Betrayal, subversion, and secret nasty deals may well have played a role. Why was there no response, except for with the Cuban military protection? While such things will probably remain murky for a while or forever, other more important aspects of the U.S. invasion of Venezuela are unambiguously clear. It is absolutely irredeemably illegal, a massive and open breach of the U.N. Charter's prohibition of wars of aggression. And so let's just go back. I want to just hit this, wars of aggression. The 1973 American law says hostilities, and they're arguing over whether this is a war now or not with these different countries that Trump is doing. You don't need a war that the Congress has to agree to. All there has to be is hostilities, and they're not supposed to be doing it, the president himself. But back to this, wars of aggression. Even some of America's most loyal Atlanticist vassals in Europe have to admit that much. For instance, a recent op-ed in Germany's ultra-mainstream Die Zeit newspaper, Washington's pretexts are so often flimsy insults to everyone with half a brain. Venezuela and Maduro are not contributing anything significant, if anything at all, to America's very own and never-ending drug problems, neither with regard to cocaine nor fentanyl, as you heard me report on other stories and contexts months and months back. And Maduro's election in 2024 may have been fair or not. The decisive, conclusive point is that such issues must be dealt with inside a sovereign country and can never justify military intervention from the outside. Or who is going to be next? Germany for the extremely dubious way, polite expression, its mainstream parties have locked the new left BSW out of parliament in what may well amount as a cold coup. Bizarre ramblings also heard recently about Iran and Venezuela are pretexts as well, but indirectly they do point to some actual truths. Maduro has been punished for daring to openly stand up for the Palestinian victims of genocide that Israel and the U.S. are currently committing together. And Israeli politicians, always the absolute bullies, have already taken the opportunity of Trump's attack on Venezuela to threaten Iran with similar violence. Trump, meanwhile, has made a point of putting his assault in the context of an assassination of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani and equally criminal assault on Iran during Operation Midnight Hammer. It's not hard to understand that reasons for the American onslaught on Venezuela, partly because American officials, including Trump himself, have spoken openly about them. Venezuela has the single greatest national oil reserves in the world and, in addition, significant deposits of gold, rare earths, and other raw materials. Trump has claimed that many of these riches somehow really belong to the U.S. and its companies, same thing for him anyhow, and promised to reconquer them, which he is doing now. Greed, plain and simple, is the main driver for this blitzkrieg against a militarily de facto helpless victim. As Trump himself has admitted, this is about, quote, a tremendous amount of wealth, close quote. But greed isn't all. There are also geopolitics, like Washington's recent electoral interference in Argentina and Honduras and the ongoing pressure in Brazil, currently receding a little. But who knows for how long Colombia, which Trump threatens with a fate similar to Venezuela, Nicaragua, and Cuba. Add in the shameless pardoning of a real drug kingpin politician from Honduras, the assault on Venezuela is also an application of what has been termed the Don Roe Doctrine. The meaning of the latter is, in essence, simple. It's the old, bad old Monroe Doctrine, going back over 200 years now, but even worse. Marco Rubio, former Trump disparager and now obsequious consigliere and enforcer, as both Secretary of State and National Security Advisor, a combination not seen since the evil days of Henry Kissinger, war criminal extraordinaire, made a point of underlining the threat against Cuba in particular. Apart from Trump, U.S. foreign policy is the hands-on and absolutely ruthless man with a personal axe to grind in the Caribbean, Latin America in general, and ambitions to which Trump's successor as president has just spelled out in the new U.S. national security strategy. Washington will focus special attention on its long-suffering southern neighbors and victims. A Trump corollary, deliberately echoing President Theodore Roosevelt's old imperialist corollary, aims to cement U.S. domination by all means and secure the American empire's backyard ever more tightly by installing and propping up puppets and suppressing resistance. Last but not least, the U.S. will also escalate an old policy of depriving Latin American countries of their own foreign policy, yet another essential element of sovereignty, by punishing them for building relationships with outsiders, most of all now China, but also Russia. That was one of Venezuelans' many sins, and no one in the region will have missed the vicious lesson that Washington has just meted out. Trump cannot imagine failure. He has declared that, quote, American dominance in the Western Hemisphere will never be questioned again. Won't happen, close quote. But of course, in reality, failure is a real possibility for him no less than for other hubristic mortals. In the long or not so long run, his violent hyper-imperialist strategy may well fail. It may even provoke a devastating backlash. Yet as so often with the U.S., its fiascos leave its victims in ruins too. Meanwhile, even the reliable U.S. imperialism booster Hal Brands has warned that Trump's methods may backfire in setting a precedent, for instance, in how China may one day decide to deal with Taiwan. The comparison is deeply demagogically flawed since Beijing has a plausible claim to Taiwan, while Washington has none to Venezuela or to snatching Maduro and his wife, as Brands embarrassingly tries to pretend. And to be honest, even if Brands has failed to notice from his Kissinger chair perch, the U.S. has long delivered one precedent after the other for breaking all laws, all rules, and all basic moral norms, such as co-penetrating the Gaza genocide with Israel. But the onslaught of the Venezuela does not add yet another facet to the American lawlessness. Ironically, some wannabe friends of Washington will never grasp the absolute selfishness and immorality of American policy. Two such comical maladjusted figures are Vladimir Zelensky of Ukraine and Maria Corina Machado in Venezuela. Zelensky used to post about spotting Russian operatives in Venezuela, trying to ingratiate himself by making a personal contribution to the U.S. siege of the country. By now, as obstreperous and increasingly useless client, he may well be a target of American regime change himself. Machado, who has bent over backwards indecently to impress the Americans just how ready she is to obey them and sell out her country and its resources, has just been discarded like a used doormat by Trump. In his Trumpalist press conference, the American president mentioned her in passing as someone who does not have to what it takes to lead Venezuela. So much for wages of treason and sucking up. Stop pitching Maria. You've just been fired. Giuliani made the underling cut you didn't. Ironically, Machado's scandalous receiving of the Nobel Peace Prize may have served her badly in the end. Trump is a jealous man. It is certain that he felt the prize should have gone to him instead. And in a way, he even has a point. While he doesn't deserve it at all, one really cannot argue that Machado deserved it more. The Nobel Peace Prize has long been a sick joke, but its use as part of the invasion preparation campaign still stands out as particularly heinous. Time to do away with this disgraceful farce. In general, the American president's press conference was a genuine Trump performance with his usual grandiolesque on full display. Taking personal credit for the spectacular assault on Venezuela, he praised it as one of the most stunning and effective and powerful displays of American military might and competence, and a feat the equal of which has not been seen since World War II. Trump was too busy boasting to notice that his own revelations about the operation implied a less heroic scenario. Quote, overwhelming, close quote, U.S. force was used, and not a single American soldier or even, quote, piece of equipment was lost. Whatever this was, it was not a great or fair fight. The United States president mostly confirmed what we already know. The U.S. wants basically all of Venezuela's stuff, but oil is at the top of the wish list. Washington feels that it should run the country until a leadership transition can be engineered, is that the installation of a puppet regime, obviously. In other words, a frank application of might is right, with only minimal rhetorical fluff about how ordinary Venezuelans will benefit and also be taken care of. If that sounds unintentionally ominous, that's because it is. And all of it is under the shadow of the same U.S. armada that has been assaulted the country and is on standby to do so again whenever Washington feels like it. Gangster politics 101. In its own way, the president's presser did represent something important about this war, namely how strangely normal the absolutely anomalous has become. What Washington has just done is a horror of criminality, greed, and arrogance. But it's also what was to be expected. The same is true for the ludicrously hypocritical reactions from the NATO-EU vassals who feel the best they can do is observe. Good luck with that. In a more normal, if far from perfect world, everyone would finally understand that single most dangerous rogue state in the world by far is the U.S. That is true, whether measured by a capability or sheer moral insanity, corruption, and brutality. In a more normal world, even the worst antagonist would find a way to cooperate to contain and detour this geopolitical Godzilla on speed. But as for now, such a world is not yet emerging. multipolarity alone will not be enough. And I'm also going to suggest it's not going to be the end answer. If you look at this on the financial side, that's the foundation for this so-called New World Order. It's always that order. And you're watching that happen, play out with all this chaos going on. It's going and developing the systems that are coming together. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTWRLM 661. And I'll be with you next week. Tech diffs, hopefully not. We got most of those taken care of. Or nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, piercing free. Pull up a chair, lean in close. Lessons to learn, dose by dose. Behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Next week, heed the call. Behind the woodshed, standing tall.